إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, respected ulama e kiram, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his kalam, he mentioned, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, Innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika alla takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in these ayat two conditions, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the result of living and dying on those two conditions. And the two conditions are, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهَ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who said that Allah is our Rabb. And by said, obviously, it doesn't mean simply saying it and doing something else. It means saying it with the full haqq of saying something like this. Meaning that you say what you believe and you live by what you believe. And to re-emphasize that, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. And then they had istiqamat on that. They said, Allah is our Rabb. And they were firm on this, meaning that they lived their lives as a manifestation and as an expression of the fact that these are the people who believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is their Rabb. I remind myself and you that a day will come when we will die. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the most intelligent one amongst you is the one who remembers his death most often. And so a day will come when we will die. Everybody dies. The strong one also dies, the weak one also dies, the rich one dies, the poor one dies, the one with influence dies, the one without influence dies, everybody dies. The young and the old. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about that time, he mentioned, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْهُلْقُومِ وَعَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the breath is stuck in the throat, and you start having difficulty in breathing, meaning the state of naza, when the life is leaving the person, the person gets completely cut off from everything else. In the istilah of the Sharia, that state and that person in that state is called the muhtadar. The muhtadar is defined as a person in whose presence those he was waiting for have arrived. That is the point at which the door of Tawbah is closed. Because another door has opened. The curtain has been lifted. The reality is visible. What was ghaib is now no longer the ghaib. And so the door of Tawbah is shut. And this muhtadar at that time, those he was waiting for, those who all of us are waiting for. Who are those we are waiting for? Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut. And the Maut Azhar is the one in whose presence those that he was waiting for have arrived. And I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that this day is going to come upon every single one of us, without a doubt. There's absolutely no doubt about it. So when the person is in that state, when the breathing is becomes difficult, when you start losing consciousness and drifting between this world and that world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that scene so beautifully. And he said that this, when you are in this state, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذِينْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And he's saying to those who are around that person, and for the most part, the people who are around that person are the loved ones, who don't want that person to die. There might be among those who are ready to give up their own life. If they could stop this person from dying, there might be, Allah Alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, you know, the parents, children, maybe some friends who are so dear and good, that they might even be in a, they might be even saying that, oh Allah, take my life, but give back this man, let this man be alive. Doesn't work. You can say what you want. Hina is in Tanzurun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are standing there and you are looking on. All technology and all medicine and all methodologies of keeping a person alive have failed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, in His great mercy and wisdom, He says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُمْ. Allah says, we are very close to you at that time. أَقْرَبُ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ, but you don't see us. We are very close to you, but you don't see us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges those who deny Him. And He says, if you are so powerful, then return that soul. تَرْجُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You want to stand in this world today and defy the orders and ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Malaika to make sajda to who? To Adam alayhi salam. And Iblis did not do it. Did Iblis refuse to make sujood to Allah? No. No. He had his own reasons for refusing to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, and all of those reasons are false. But he never refused to make sajda to Allah. But in our case, the one who is a Muslim and who does not pray, he is refusing to make sujood to whom? To Allah Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. He refuses to make sajda to Allah. And what is the excuse that they give? If you tell the brother time for salah, say, yeah, we'll come, wait, hold on. Abhi time hai na abhi. They still have time. I'm doing some work, I'm in a meeting, I'm this, I'm that, I've got a phone call, conference call, what not, deal. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. The attitude of saying, wait, I'll come, is an attitude of arrogance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the time of salah has come, the muazzin is calling, and we're saying, yeah, hold on, wait. Allah can wait. It shows an attitude of arrogance, it shows an attitude of total ignorance. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the human being what? Zaluman jahula. Zalim bhi hai, jahil bhi hai. He is an oppressor and he is ignorant. Because when the person is delaying his salah, and when he is not praying on time, I am not even talking about the one who doesn't pray at all, that's a different matter, we'll come to that, but one who doesn't pray on time, what is he demonstrating? First of all, he is demonstrating arrogance to say that he, Allah can wait, na'udhu billah. And the second thing is, he is demonstrating his own stupidity and ignorance. Because here is the muazzin saying, Hayya ala al-fala, Hayya ala al-sala, Hayya ala al-fala, come toward the salah, come to success, and he's saying, no, wait. Then he says, I want success in life. I want to be successful in life. And the muazzin says, come to success, no, no, wait. Makes no sense, no? Mafi mukh. I mean, you are saying, you're calling somebody, here is, you want success, oh, here is success, come to success. No, no, wait. But I want success. I mean, so what kind of senseless behavior is this? And the one who doesn't come at all, what to say about him? What to say about him? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. It is not sufficient merely to say, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Not simply sufficient to say, رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Show that. If you believe something, demonstrate this belief in action. Not enough simply to say. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those who say, but who do not believe, and who do not demonstrate in the action. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, among the people are those who say that Allah is our Rabb. They say we believe in Allah. And we believe in the last day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they are not mu'minin. These are the ayat with regard to the munafiqun which came. But we have to read the ayah and see, may Allah protect us, whether it applies to us. I am not saying may Allah protect us from being in a state of nifaq. You cannot call somebody a munafiq because that is a specific term that relates to those people during the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were there. But the state of nifaq is there possible for everybody. May Allah protect us from that. And what is that state of nifaq? The state of nifaq is to say something and do something else. This the ayat which our Imam recited in Salatul Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Oh, you believe, why do you say something you don't do? Why do you say something that you don't do? And he said, this condition of saying something and doing something else is a very big thing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kabura maqtan indallah. It is a very serious matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a small thing. It's a very serious matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say something, you do something else. So istiqamat on deen, when we say Rabbi Allah, Allah is my Rabb, then what does it mean? It means with regard to the aqidah, to hold the aqidah in the heart, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. That there is no one worthy of asking help except Allah. That nobody can do any benefit and nobody can do any harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, in one sariya he was in a town or village, whatever, wallah alam. So he was there with his army. And Khalid bin Walid, he saw a man who was trying to, look like he was trying to get away. So he grabbed him. And he found this man had a bottle in his hand. He had a vial, you know, he had a bottle with him, a small bottle with him. So Khalid bin Walid grabbed him and he said, "What is this bottle?" The man said, "This is a very, very dangerous poison." So Khalid bin Walid said, "What kind of dangerous poison?" So the man says, "One drop of this poison is enough to kill 10 people instantly." So Khalid bin Walid said, this poison can kill? I'm talking about the aqidah of La nafi'a wa la dharra illallah. I'm not recommending that you should do these things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us, and if we make the mehnat, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we make the effort, and Allah grants us that level of iman, wallahi, every single one of these things is doable and can be done. But the purpose is not to do it for the sake of showing some karamat. That is from shaitan. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he did not do it to show any karamat. So the man said, "One drop of this poison can kill 10 people. Khalid bin Walid said, "This thing can kill?" He said, "Yes, very dangerous, it can kill." So Khalid bin Walid took the bottle from him, opened the cap of the bottle and drank the whole thing. He said, "One drop can kill 10 people, let me see what it can do." He drank the whole thing. He said, "Nothing can harm except my Allah, nothing can benefit except my Allah. This thing, what is this thing? This is nothing." And all those who were there around him, they all accepted Islam instantly. They saw this thing. I'm not saying this to describe some karamat of the Sahaba. We believe in the karamat of the Sahaba and the Salihin. And of course, this is from all karamat are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sahibul karama is Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He wants. يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. But the point to explain is that the belief, the firm and total conviction and understanding and knowledge. So this is the first part of Qal Rabbun Allah. And the second part of Qal Rabbun Allah is to act on that. And that is the istiqamat. If I believe that there is only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can harm, who can do good, who can help me, who can stop anything from helping me, and to whom is my return, if that is actually my belief, then that belief must be visible in my actions. And how is that belief visible in my actions? In every part of my life, in my external appearance, in my internal tazkiyah of my nafs, in my aqwal, in my akhlaq, in what I say, in how I behave, in my muashara, in my society, everything. This is the meaning of istiqamah. And for those who have that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see the basharat, may Allah make us among those who have this istiqamah to live on this creed, and on whom these ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us this when we are ready to go to Him, inshallah. See the basharat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika. The malaika will descend. In the hadith of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when the believer is ready to go, when his time comes, he said, Malakul Maut descends and he comes and sits by his head, and along with him 70,000 angels come. And Malakul Maut sits by his head and he says to the person, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. He says, "Oh, you soul, oh good soul, a soul which has itminan, which has peace, a soul in harmony, a soul with purity. Irji'i ila rabbiki. Come out to your Rabb who is pleased with you. Radiyatan mardiyya. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the soul will be extracted as painlessly as a drop of water falling from a jug. No taklif. Just like a drop of water dropping, that is how the soul will be extracted. You ask Allah to make us among those, inshallah. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the malaika will come with the clothing from Jannah. And he said, it will be made of green silk. And Allah knows best what is the nature of that silk and so on and so on. We have to use some terminology to explain. But we cannot understand the beauty of that. Something from Jannah. Allah sends this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends clothing from Jannah. You know, in our culture, when a girl gets married, on the day of the nikah, the bridegroom's family sends her clothes. And it is expected that she wears those clothes for the nikah. It's not from Islam or anything. It's a cultural thing that's an indication that you are now a part of our family. So we send the clothing and you wear that clothing when you enter this family. Allah sends clothing from Jannah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the soul will be, when it is taken out, it will be wrapped in this clothing, in this, which comes from Jannah. And he said the malaika will take that soul from hand to hand to hand. It's like a little baby who is born. Let me hold it, let me hold it, let me hold it. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Malakul Maut will take the soul and go upwards into the heavens. And at the gates of the first heaven, the guard of the gate will say, who have you brought? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Malakul Maut will describe the person by his name and by his or her titles and by all the good things that people used to say about that person. And the guards of the gate will say, you are awaited. We know you are coming. And they will say, enter here with honor. And the gates will be opened. And the same process will be repeated from heaven to heaven to heaven until the person is presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, before his throne in a manner that he knows best and which is in keeping with his majesty and grace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that I am pleased with you, now go and sleep. Go and sleep. The place to sleep is not here. The place to sleep is the qabr. If we wake up here and work to please our Rabb, then in the qabr we will sleep very peacefully, inshallah. Allah will say, go and sleep, and nobody will disturb you until the day when you will be resurrected. And for the disbeliever, it is the opposite. I don't want to take too much of your time. You will stay with this. But this is what the ayat. And then what do they say? The malaika will say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Imagine the beauty of the Quran. How truthful is this book of Allah? أَصْدَقُوا الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, the most truthful of speech is the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautiful is the description of this time of death. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, imagine, everyone and everyone will be anxious and will be fearful. Because you are going to a place that you know nothing about. No matter how much you read and no matter how much you thought about it and so on and so forth, the reality is we have not seen it. Nobody has seen it, and nobody who sees it will ever come back to tell us what it is. So there is apprehension, there is fear. What's going to happen? How will I go? What will happen? And see the mercy of our Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu Amma Nawaluhu, where He sends Malaika who says, don't fear. Allah takhaf, wala tahzanu. Don't fear, don't be sad, because at that time you are thinking, all your life, all your people, what will happen to my family, where, this, that. All my life I did this, this, this. Now if Allah holds me accountable, what will happen to me? So for the believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away his anxiety right there. He doesn't even need to wait till the day of judgment. Right there it's taken away, his anxiety is taken away. Allah takhafu wa la tahzan. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. We have come with the bashara of Jannah for you. And what is this Jannah? This is where you will have everything that you would think of, everything that you wanted, everything that you imagined, everything that you desired. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this term, nuzul. Nuzulum min ghafurir rahim. Nuzul is like what you would call a welcome drink. You know, somebody comes after from a long journey and you are really looking forward to this person, this friend of yours, this relative of yours. You haven't seen them for many years. Now you are looking forward to meeting them and you have all these great plans. And you know, when you come here, we'll go there, we'll eat this and we eat that and all these big plans. But when the person first enters the house, what do you do? You don't sit him down to a 7-course meal. No, that 7-course meal is there. You don't immediately say, right, now we go to Kruger Park. No, all of that will be done in its own good time. But now that you have come from this long journey and so on, have a seat. Here is some sharbat, here is some fruit juice or something. Relax, here is a cup of tea. Take away your tiredness. Relax and sit down, have this. That nuzul is the sign of great goodness which is to come. This is only a small thing. This is not the entire thing. This is just to welcome you. Now we will do so many things. There all kinds of things will be there. But this is just to welcome you. Take away that tiredness. Nuzul. What is this nuzul? This bashara of Jannah. Nuzulum min ghafurir rahim. I've said this again and again and again. Reflect, especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself by His sifat. Reflect and think about why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use that particular sifat of His. And it shows the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the time of dying is coming, what is the top of the mind thought in the mind of everybody else? Will Allah forgive me or not? Everybody, without exception. The anxiety there is, will Allah forgive me or not? My brothers and sisters, as human beings, we have only two daruriyat. We have only two things in life which are actually daruri. And those two things, it's not food, it's not money, it's not clothing, it's not shelter, it is not health, it's not wealth, it's not influence. Those two things are, while we live, hidayah. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to ask for hidayah. So while we live, hidayah. And when we die, maghfirah. Only two things. If a person has this, if he has guidance when he lives, and if he has maghfirat when he dies, then that person is successful not just in this dunya, but he is successful forever and ever. And on the contrary, if a person does not have this, if he does not have hidayah, while he lives, it doesn't matter what else he has. Makes no difference. Where I live in Hyderabad, Microsoft has a big facility. He's also clients of mine. So Bill Gates came. Now Bill Gates came, first an entire security deputation came. His own private security people. They came, they took over the hotel where he was staying, where he was supposed to stay. Throughout the hotel, security people, his security people took over the hotel. Everything from the kitchen upwards. Then he comes in his own private jet. And then he is helicoptered from the airport to the Microsoft facility. And then he has, you know, a couple of meetings. And then he's gone. He was there for like maybe less than 24 hours. Allah only knows, you know, flying two jets from America here and back and to India and back and so on. I mean, millions of dollars. An expression of fear. Thought in my mind was, with all this money, you are afraid. And all this money is going to try to take away your fear. I mean, what life is that? You can't walk on the street without being afraid. You can't go meet a friend of yours without being afraid. You can't go and sit in the dhaba and have a cup of tea. Security people are surrounding you and, you know, nobody can touch. Who wants a life like this? But see the conditioning in our minds. What would you say? What a life. Wow. I wish I was like that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. With all of that wealth. If that man dies without hidayah, where is he going to go? So hidayah. And at the time of going, maghfirah. The forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. This nuzul, this welcome is from whom? Al-Ghafoor al-Rahim. Now to get this, all we need to do, very simple, all we need to do, Qalu Rabbuna Allah. This we have done already, right? So let us do that. Let me ask you to do this, repeat after me, so that we are each one of us witness to one another, and all the malaika in this masjid are witness to all of us. So let us say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. So this is in our heart, alhamdulillah. We have spoken it. It is witnessed by all of us for each other, and it is witnessed by all the malaika who are here with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be witness over all of us, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the istiqamah to live by this kalima. This one single line, which consists of two parts. This is the doorway into Jannah. So we have said this. Now if we stay on this with istiqamat, that's it. And think about this. Two things. First of all, we don't know how long our life is. So if I have said this kalima now, and I said I have to stay on this with istiqamat, for how long? Maybe for the next 5 minutes. Maybe for the next 5 minutes, I don't know. Maybe for the next 5 minutes, maybe for the next 5 days, maybe for the next 1 week, I don't know. But even if it is for the next many, many years, all of those years, at the time when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how long will they seem like? the reality will become visible. And what is that reality? Kam labistum, how long did you stay? What will they say? Labisna yauman au bada yaum. We stayed for one day or maybe part of a day. And this can be any period whatsoever. Yauman au bada yaum. So it is to be steadfast only for that short period. And then we are home and dry. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi is passing away, his last moments of his life. The great muhaddith, the great imam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and to give him the best and to fill his qabr with noor for the khidmat that he did for this ummah. The courage to stand firm in the face of a tyrant king, Mansur. He ordered Imam Ahmad to be whipped. And somebody said that they used to later dress the wounds in his back. And they said there was one wound in which the entire fist, the whole hand would go inside. It was so deep. A whole lump of flesh came out. And Imam Ahmad at that time was in his 80s. He was not a young man, he was an old man. And a huge hujum of people, when he was put in prison after being lashed, he was put in prison. There was a huge crowd of people waiting outside to see what would happen to the Imam. So one of the scholars for dollars who worked for the king, he came to him and he said, just say this once and you can go back and recant. It is permissible. If you are in danger of your life and so on, it is permissible to say something and then later on you can recant. You can say, no, I said this under duress. I didn't mean it. So Imam Ahmad told him, come here. He said, look out of that window. He said, you know what all those people are waiting for? They are waiting to say what I will say. They are waiting to hear what I will say. And he said that I will say once, that they will know. When I recant, that they will not know. So he said, if I also say what you are saying, then where will this end? He said, I refuse, I will not say it. This imam, he is dying and he is losing consciousness and he is gaining consciousness in the state of Nazai, in the state of going from this world into the next world. And his son says, I saw my father, whenever he came, whenever he got consciousness, he would say, not yet, not yet. So his son said, I got worried, what's happened to him now at the last point of his life, he is saying, not yet, is he afraid of death, is he, what is it, what is this, not yet, what does it mean? So he asked him, he said to him, my father, what does it mean, this not yet, what does it mean? He said, don't you see who is sitting here? He said, Iblis is sitting here. And he is telling me, Ahmad, you escaped me, you escaped me. And I am telling him, not yet, not yet. Because until the last breath is in my throat, I am afraid that he might deceive me. Who is saying this? Somebody who spent his entire life in the khidmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the khidmat of this deen. He says, no. It is a sign of the Muslim that he never thinks that he is free from the deception of shaitan. He never thinks that he is free from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the possibility that he might anger Allah. He says, not yet. Only when my last breath is gone, then I am safe. After that, the shaitan cannot do anything. If we die on iman, alhamdulillah, Insha'Allah al-Musta'an, we are safe. Then shaitan cannot do anything to us. But until that moment, there is no guarantee for anybody. no guarantee for anyone except the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say no guarantee, we don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we have every hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we understand this. We don't become complacent. We don't take it for granted. No. And that's why it is very important to have good friends. Is to be and seek the company of people who are muttaqeen. Seriously, one of the biggest and most major reasons, according to me, why good Muslims do stupid things is not because they are rebellious against Allah or they are enemies of Allah or that they set out to say, today I am going to try to disobey Allah. No, it's not that. It's just the influence of friends. They are in the wrong kind of company. And because of that company, they are too weak. That peer pressure is too strong. So they are too weak to say, look, I'm sorry, I don't do these things. Don't even tell me this. Very simple matter. You might be sitting somewhere and it's nice, good, fellowship, nice atmosphere. And somebody says, you know what? I went there and you know what this so-and-so was saying? And you know about that fellow? What about him? Now this is all ghibah. This is all ghibah. But you feel, no, it's all good atmosphere. Now suddenly if I say, no, don't do ghibba, this is haram, everything will spoil. People will say, what is this? So you keep quiet. And what is the issue with ghibba? The one who is doing it and the one who is listening are equal. What is to be done if ghibba is happening? You stop it. Otherwise you get up and leave. But because you are in this company of this friend, you say, well, I can't get up and leave, they will feel bad, what will happen to them, and so on and so on. I was in America once and one of my nieces, her mother told me, please speak to your nieces. I said, okay, so what to speak to them? These are all American girls, all born there, grew up there. So, I was saying, it's a long story, I said some other thing, but one of the things I mentioned was ghibat. And so one of them said, well, there goes my social life. But this is the reality. It's not only about them. This is the reality. Our reality today is that our social life consists of ghibat. For the most part, we talk about other people. This one, that one, what not. This is our social life. And it's not permissible. In Islam, it is haram. And that's only one example. So many other examples. You have friends, they do things which you know are wrong, but because they are friends, you keep quiet. So, very important for us to have good friends. And see the benefit of good friends. Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, his last moments. The great commander of the armies of Islam, a man who never lost a battle, he is dying. Where is he dying? Not on the field of battle. He is dying in his bed. And Khalid bin Walid is extremely upset about that. Very upset about it. So a friend of his comes to visit him. And Khalid bin Walid says to him, look at me. He said, look at me. He says, Allah is my witness. There was not a battle in which I did my best to die in the path of Allah. Yeah? Not did my best to save myself. No, I did my best to die in the path of Allah. In the battle of Mota, after the three people that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had named, Zayd bin Haritha was the commander, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Zayd falls, then Ja'far bin Abi Talib will take his place. And then he named another person. And the Sahaba knew, this is Bashara of Shahada. Can you imagine? Imagine you are going away and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this to you. If Zayd falls, what does it mean? There's no if. With the Prophet ﷺ. If Zayd falls means Zayd, this is He is saying to Zayd bin Haritha, who used to be called Zayd bin Muhammad until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed. He's saying to him that you are going to die. So what did the Sahaba say? He said, no, excuse me. Please send somebody else. He said, Alhamdulillah, I get the bashar of shahada from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Ajeeba, there was, what kind of generation was it? He must sit and think and reflect. Because these are our standard. You want to bring up your children like that. Because those people also had mothers. They also had fathers. They didn't come out of the air. They also had uncles and aunts. They also had people they, you know, who influenced them. That's how they became. Nubuwwat is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but these people, they are not Anbiya. So when these three people died, and they were shaheed in the battle of Mu'tah, Khalid bin Walid was elected by the Muslims to lead, to be the Amir. And Khalid bin Walid became the Amir. He took command of the troops. And in that one day, Khalid bin Walid broke 7 swords. The fighting was so tough against the Romans, the finest army in the world. And they were hugely outnumbered. The Romans were like 10 times their number. Khalid bin Walid broke 7 swords until somebody gave him a Yemeni broadsword, which is a huge piece of iron. And that stayed in the hand of Khalid bin Walid till the evening. There are replicas of Khalid bin Walid's radiallahu anhu sword, and I saw one of them in Malaysia. And you look at this and you think about what must be the size of the wrist and the hand of the one who could hold this thing. Imagine the strength to be able to hold that sword and use that sword in battle. Imagine the strength and the power in the man, in his hand and his sword. So Khalid bin Walid says to his friend, there is not a battle that I fought in which I tried my best to become Shahid fi sabilillah. And he said to his friend, he said, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, he said, there is not an inch of space on my body which has not taken a wound from a sword or a spear or an arrow. He said, my whole body is nothing, no space, not an inch of space on my body. Every part of my body was wounded. He said, but look at me. Today I am dying here like a camel in its stable. I am dying in bed. He was very upset. I am talking about the benefit of good friends. He was very upset at the time of dying. His friend says to him, he says, yeah, Khalid. He says, you got this thing wrong, man. He said, don't be sad. He said, do not be sad. Allah will give you darajat that you cannot even imagine. He says, you know why you did not die in battle? He said, the day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called you Saifullah, your fate was sealed. He said, there is no way the sword of Allah can fall in battle. There is no way the sword of Allah can be overcome by an enemy. He said, your fate was sealed the day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave you that title. He said, your fate was sealed. You could not have died in battle. There's no way. The sword of Allah cannot be humiliated. And he said, this is from the Nabi. This is an azaz that was given to you. This is an honor that was given to you. Rejoice in that. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you, not the fact that you did not die in battle is not a problem, inshallah. Imagine how much of comfort he would have got from that. And how did he get that? Because of a good friend. A good friend who had the knowledge to be able to interpret this and explain it to him. قَالُ رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ اسْتَقَامَتْ. The same Khalid ibn Walid, Battle of Yarmouk. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu became Khalifa. Almost the first thing that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu did was, he sent an order, hukum, ordering Khalid ibn Walid to hand over the command to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. The messenger reached Yarmouk, where the Muslim army was about to fight the Romans. Very, very decisive battle which broke the back of the Byzantine Empire. And that one battle, if it had gone wrong, that would have been the end of the story. The following morning, they are going to fight. Huge Roman army. Over 200,000 soldiers. 100,000 of Roman soldiers, 100,000 of Christian Arabs. And at that time, this order comes. I'm talking about istiqamat on the deen. When you say Rabbi Allah, you stand firm on everything that goes with it. I remember two things. Firstly, armies don't fight for countries. Armies fight for their commanders. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was such an icon. He was such a charismatic commander that every soldier was fighting for Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. There was this belief that as long as Khalid bin Walid is leading the army cannot lose. And that was one of the reasons why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, our iman has gone from Allah to Khalid. So we need to change that. There's no enmity between the Sahaba. And when Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu actually died, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, Abu Bakr was a better judge of people than me. Because he said, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the one who retained and kept Khalid bin Walid in command. Because Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, everybody is human, so there were some things that Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, some decisions that he took which later on turned out to be not the best. It does not mean that he committed some sin, but he, in the heat of battle, position of command is a very difficult position. So at that point in time, the commander has to take a call from whatever knowledge he has. So he took a call, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went and complained to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, see what Khalid has done. You must remove him from authority. Take away his command. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, the sword that Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew out, I will not put back. He said, I will not sheath the sword that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew out. So he refused. But when he passed away, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he sent an order to Khalid ibn Walid to hand over command to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu ajma'in. I'm talking about staying on Rabbun Allah. Battle is about to happen. Khalid bin Walid had two options. One option was to say, fine, here is the order, take the command, your problem. What do you think would have happened to the soldiers if they knew on the eve of battle that Khalid bin Walid is no longer the commander of the army? That battle would be lost even before it began. Total demoralization of the soldiers. So this was one, and you could not fault him if he did that, because here is the command of the Khalifa, I'm carrying it out. What more do you want me to do? You can't fault him. How can you do that? You are the one who sent me the order. Huh? What do you mean, how can I do it? You sent me the order, I carried out the order. So, second option that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had was to say, alright, let the Romans wait. Let me deal with this one first. And believe me, reading military history is one of my interests. And I have read a lot of military histories. And I am convinced that if Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had given the command to that army to march on Medina, that army would have marched. Make no mistake. That army would have marched. If Khalid bin Walid wanted to come and take over and become Khalifatul Muslimin, and if he wanted to kill Umar ibn al-Khattab, he would have succeeded. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And we have enough examples in the history of the Muslims to know that, to know that this was and is quite a common phenomenon with the Muslims. Khalid bin Walid could have gone back to Medina with the Muslim army and he could have taken over Medina, he could have taken over the Khilafah, he could have killed Umar ibn al-Khattab and he could have become the Khalifa without any problem. This is the issue of Qal Rabbuna Allahu Thumma Istaqam. I said Allah is my Rabb, which means what? I obey the Khalifa. But I don't obey the Khalifa like a mindless moron. I also exercise my intelligence. And I do that which is I obey the Khalifa, but I at the same time do that which is beneficial for the Muslim Ummah. So what does Khalid ibn Walid do? Radiallahu anhu. As soon as the messenger comes, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, as soon as he reads the letter, he confines the messenger in his tent. He's not tied him up or something, but he says, you stay here. You stay in this tent. He put a guard on him and said, this man should not go anywhere. And the letter, that order of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Khalid ibn Walid concealed it. He didn't show anybody. Next day, they went into battle. And Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu is not fighting half-heartedly. He's not saying, well, you know what, this is not my responsibility. No! He fought that battle, he commanded that army, he broke the back of the Romans. And when the battle is over, now there is no danger. Now he takes the letter and gives it to Abu Ubaidah and says, Sheikh, you are now the commander. He said, when did the letter came? He said, yesterday. He said, why did you give it to me? He said, for this reason. He said, Alhamdulillah. He said, Alhamdulillah. For the commander-in-chief, these things are easy to talk. For the commander-in-chief of an army to be sent back and to become a common soldier is not easy, huh? You think it's easy? How is this summa istaqama? Because this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We obey the Khalifa. I may not like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. I may have problems with this decision. I may think that he is victimizing me. Whatever. Wallahu a'lam. We don't know what was in the mind of Khalid bin Walid, and I'm not trying to guess that. I'm just saying that no matter what, he is the Khalifatul Muslimin, he is the Amirul Mu'mineen, and if he has ordered me to hand over command, I hand over command. But I don't do that mindlessly, causing harm to the Muslims so that he can be blamed. No. I do that in the best possible manner, ensuring that the Muslims are in the Ummah is safe, and then I hand over command and I place myself at your command and say, order me and I will obey. And see the hikmat of Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. He didn't say to Khalid, now go, you are a security guard. No. He said, I am the commander, but I want your advice. So you stay here with me. He said, advise me. Treating the person with honor. Wallahi Ajib, the Sahaba were people, they know jealousy against each other, nothing in the heart. Not to say that, okay, now you have become the, you know, all this while you were the commander and I was under you, now you have become under me, now I will show you. La hawla wala quwwata. Never, never. You stay here with me. I need your advice. We need your advice. You still run the battles. Maybe I am the one in the front, but you are the one. Help me with this. Qalu Rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqama. Istaqama. My brothers and sisters, I will end with this. There is no zikr, there is no word, there is no speech better than the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There is no guidance that is better than the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are no examples that are better than the examples of his companions, the great and honored Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live our lives in complete and total obedience to His word, and to live our lives in complete and total obedience to the best of the best, which is the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to keep the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in as the beacons of guidance for us in our lives, in all that we think, all that we say, all that we do. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with this and never to be displeased. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover you with His mercy, to cover you with His forgiveness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you in your life, to enable you to do all that is pleasing to Him, and to save you and protect you from that which is not pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.